Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin, and our friend Ed Short is not with us this evening. It is Sunday, July 21st, 2024, and Ed is on a vacation. He's taking a little trip to go visit his sons and spend a little time with his family and his new grandbaby. So we're excited for him that he's able to do that. And I'm glad that you're with me here this evening. I'm actually doing this from my home studio instead of the Prophecies of Hope studio, so it might sound a little bit different because I'm using a different microphone. So since Ed's not with us this evening, we're going to be, instead of a Bible study like we would normally do, we're going to actually listen to a sermon that I gave several months ago, and I hope that you enjoy that. I'll give you more information on that in just a moment. But I'll tell you, it has been really, really hot here in Virginia this past week. The first part of the week, it was triple digits, and it was right at 100 degrees, and it's cooled off quite a bit for this weekend. It's been nice. So it's really good to be here. I want to thank Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity to be able to broadcast here on New Visions Radio each and every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a blessing to be here each and every week. And also, just to tell you a little bit about Prophecies of Hope Ministries, we are an independent, non-denominational ministry located in Stanton, Virginia. And if you'd ever come to the Stanton area, we would love to see you. Our church is located at 1743 West Beverly Street, and that's in Stanton, Virginia. And what we do is we meet every Sabbath, every Saturday morning. That's the biblical Sabbath. The Sabbath begins at sundown Friday and ends on sundown at sundown on Saturday. And we meet together at 9:30 every Sabbath or Saturday morning. And we have actually a Bible study. We call it Sabbath School. And most of the time, Ed leads. Now, he might be able to lead that this week via Zoom, this coming week. So we'll see what happens. It depends on where he's located and if he has internet service. And the other thing is you can stream live that Sabbath School at prophecyhope.com. Or if you'd like to join us and maybe comment or read or have any questions, you can join us via Zoom. And if you'd like to get that link sent to you, you can email me at mark@prophecyhope.com, or you can email ed@prophecyhope.com. And then on Sabbath mornings at 11 o'clock, we have a worship service that begins at 11 o'clock every Sabbath morning. And then on Wednesday nights, we have a Bible study and prayer meeting that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And every other Monday, our brother Rick and his wife have a prayer meeting and testimony time where people come together, they pray for others, and they share their testimonies from the weeks gone by and just how God has worked in their lives and how God is working in our life today. And if you'd like to join that, you're welcome to send us an email, and we'll be glad to reply to that and send you the link that you can join in on that. Also, keep in mind our website, prophecyhope.com. There are hundreds of sermons there. You can look for them topically or by date. And you'll also find our Bible prophecy series listed there each year from 2012 all the way up until last year, which was 2023. We are going to have a Bible series this year in 2024, and that will actually begin, I believe it's September the 16th. Let me just open my calendar here. I don't have Ed here to bounce off of, so that can be a little difficult sometimes. Yeah, it's September the 16th, 2024. We will begin our Bible series, and it will go the 16th through the 21st, and we will end up that Sabbath morning with the final message in that series. So I think that's all of the business that we have to do here, but this sermon is entitled, Do You Have the Truth? And, you know, a lot of people believe they have the truth based on the church that they attend. And is that the case? Well, if you hear this sermon, I hope that you'll find a blessing from it. But before we listen to the sermon, let's open with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to be here this evening and to be able to open your word, the Bible, to be able to listen to a sermon that will draw us ever closer to you and your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we just ask for a blessing upon us as we listen. We ask that we can apply these things in our lives and that we can learn more about you and your son and how to spread the gospel and to be willing to share these things with others. Please be with us here as we listen now, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, we will get the sermon started. Again, it's entitled, Do You Have the Truth? And afterward, we will come back for a few closing remarks and a closing prayer.
The truth. There was an old TV show called Truth or Consequences. And they would have people line up on a board, and then they had another one that was called To Tell the Truth. Do you remember that? To Tell the Truth? And they would have one person there that was the actual person, and then they would have two people that would have to make it sound like they knew what they were talking about. Truth. That's something that in this world we don't receive a lot of. There's a lot of misconception, a lot of misleading. Satan, we're told, is the father of the lie. The first lie that was ever recorded was told in the Garden of Eden to Eve when Satan said, "You shall not surely die." He wasn't speaking the truth. He was speaking a lie. Well, our brother Ed said something a long time ago that it really struck me. And you've probably heard him, if you spent any time with him, you've probably heard him say this, because most churches have signs in front of them. We have one in front of this little ministry here, in front of this church. And we tend to put scriptures up there so people read scriptures. And some will put little slogans or phrases or something funny. But he said one thing that he's never seen is a billboard or a church sign that said, "We don't have the truth here." Every church will tell you, "We teach the truth. We preach from the Bible. We have the truth." In fact, I grew up in a church that was what they would say. They would say, "We have the truth." They would even ask somebody, if it was somebody they didn't know, "Well, how did you come to know the truth? When did you come into the truth?" That's what they will say. And in talking with my brother Rick and my brother Ed, your church said the same thing, the church you grew up in. "We have the truth." Well, the question is, do you have the truth? Do you have the truth because you're affiliated with that church? Did I have the truth because I was affiliated with a church that called themselves the truth? It doesn't make it true, does it? So we're going to be taking a little journey through Scripture, and we're going to look at this word truth. Now, I just did a brief search in doing a little study for this, and I found the word truth was in the King James Version of the Bible 217 times. And it was in the New King James 237 times. So, and it's interesting how you find it. Now, in the gospel accounts, the Gospel of John uses the word truth more than any of them. And in my studies, I enjoyed going through this process, looking at it. So, you know, the thing is, we have to know what we believe. I've said that a lot lately. We have to know what we believe, and we have to be able to defend what we believe from God's Word, the Bible, not based on what a ministry or a church or a pastor or a group of people might have to say, not based on our own opinions. But let's take a look. We're going to start in the Psalms, and we're going to look at this word truth. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 25, and we're just going to see what this psalm says about truth. I thought this was a good place to start. Psalm 25, it's not very long. We're just going to read this whole psalm. It's only 22 very short verses. Psalm 25, beginning in verse 1, it says, "To you, O Jehovah, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Jehovah. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all day." Now I want to pause here. Verse 4, "Show me your ways, O Jehovah," is what it says. Well, we know John 14:6 says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So here he's saying, show me your ways. How can God show us his ways today? It's through his word, the Bible, and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We look at Jesus and we see the Father because he represents the Father in the perfect way. So it says, show me your ways, O Jehovah. Teach me your paths. Teach me in your truth. I'm sorry, lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all the day. Verse 6, remember, O Jehovah, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Jehovah. Good and upright is Jehovah. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. Remember, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The humble he guides in justice, in verse 9, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of Jehovah are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Jehovah, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears Jehovah? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of Jehovah is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward Jehovah, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. And then verse 22 says, redeem Israel, O God, out of their troubles. Now, naturally, when people read this and they get to that closing verse, they want to apply this to Israel today. But remember, we are Israel if we accept Jesus Christ. We have to have Christ. Without Christ, there is no hope. So those who are rejecting him, they can't have the truth because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's so many things here. We see here the truth is mentioned. We see God's ways are mentioned. He wants us to teach. It talks about how we will inherit the earth. God will show them his covenant. It's beautiful. He pardons our sins because of what Jesus did for us. All of these things. Verse 20, it says, for I put my trust in you. You can't trust someone who will lie to you. I've always felt that if someone will lie to you, they will steal from you. God says, if you break one commandment, I think it's in James, you've broken them all. So if someone lies, you can't trust them. And if they lie, there's no truth in that person. That's what it was said of Satan. I want you to notice this text. I'm going to put it on the PowerPoint for you. Another psalm. Psalm 86, 10 and 11. For you are great and do wonderful things. This is from the Modern King James on the PowerPoint. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Jehovah, and I will walk in your truth. My heart rejoices to fear your name. Now, it's interesting to me that these words are spoken, and then later on, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So all of the things that we were looking at in Psalm 25, when we looked at that just a moment ago, that we can inherit the earth and live forever, that's the life. How do we get there? We have to know the way. We have to speak truth. We have to know Jesus in order to be a part of that beautiful kingdom that God is going to make for us. Psalm 119 is another place where we see this word truth used. It's everywhere. There are so many places in the Bible you can find it. But I just wanted to highlight a few things because so many times we equate the truth with a church or a denomination or with a group. We want to speak truth. We want to teach the truth. We want to have the truth. Notice beginning in verse 153, we're just going to read a few verses here. It says, "Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Jehovah. Revive me according to your judgments." So far in verse 153, we see the law. In 155, we see salvation. We see statutes. 156, we see judgments. Verse 157, "Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Jehovah, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your judgments endures, every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." So it says, it doesn't say that only the New Testament is truth or only the Old Testament is truth. It says the entirety of your word is truth. Well, guess what? This is God's word, the Bible, so that means all of it is truth, but also Jesus is the word. Jesus is the word. The entirety of Christ. He is the embodiment of truth. He is truth. So if I have the truth, do I have a church or do I have Jesus Christ? When somebody says, "Do you have the truth? Do you know the truth?" Well, yes, I know the truth. The truth is Jesus. Do you have the truth? I have Christ. I have the truth. Take a look on the PowerPoint. Here's Psalm 145. Here's another place. Psalm 145, 17 and 18. "Jehovah is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Jehovah is near all those who call on him, all those who call on him in truth." We call on him in truth. In fact, when we pray to God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We're calling on him through Christ. We call on him in truth. So this is a beautiful chapter. Let's go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John has a lot to say about these things. And I want to read this because we're actually, this is a lot of reading, but it speaks for itself. The best sermons are right out of the Bible. The best sermons are just allowing the Bible to speak. So let's begin here in John chapter 8, verse 1. "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman caught in adultery, this woman was caught in adultery, the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?'" See, they're trying to trick him. They're trying to get him to say something false or something wrong. They're trying to entrap him. Verse 6, "This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued to ask him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.' And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.' Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." They're telling him he's a liar. That's what they're telling him. "Your witness is not true." Verse 14, Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. And you do not know where I come from and where I am going." You know, that's pretty sad because they should have known where he came from. The whole Bible was written about him. And he's telling them, "You don't even know where I'm from." Verse 15, "You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." Then they said to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself because he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" And he said to them, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Then they said to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him." They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. That's pretty sad. These people who were supposed to know, these people who were teaching, these were the Pharisees he's talking to. They didn't know that he was speaking about God. How sad. And yet, if you would have talked to any one of them, if you would have said to those religious leaders, "Do you have the truth?" I guarantee you they would say, "Of course, we're God's people." Let's keep reading this account. This is pretty interesting. So verse 27 again, they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then verse 28, Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Is Jesus the truth? Does Jesus free us? Yes, he does. Verse 33, they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of the lie. You see, the problem, he's pointing out the problem with the adversary. He doesn't speak according to truth. He doesn't speak according to God's will. He speaks according to his own resources. We need to be careful as Christians that we don't do that. We need to speak the word of God, not from our own resources. I appreciate what Jesus said in verse 32. I proceeded forth and came from God. He's saying he's the begotten Son of God. He came from his Father. God is his Father. He says, nor have I come of myself, but he, the Father, sent me. That's what he's saying. So we continue on in this. Let's read verse 46 again. We didn't read 46. Let's start in 45. But because I tell the truth, Jesus is telling the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, you shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? You see what they're doing here? They're turning things around. They're turning things around. Jesus, he's saying in verse 51, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. If they knew and understood what God's word said, they would realize what he was saying. Remember, we all will die the first death, whether it's a literal death that we die if we die before Jesus comes, or when we die to sin and we're living when Jesus comes. Either way, we have to die, whether it's dying to sin by baptism, by giving up the old life, or dying a literal death. Because remember, some will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air that will never taste death, but they have to die to their sins. And there are others who will be resurrected who died to their sins. They've died the first death, not only in baptism, but a literal death. So when Jesus says here, most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death, he's not talking about the first death, and he's not talking about the death to sin, he's talking about the second death. And if these religious leaders knew what God's word said, they would understand this. The problem is, most Christians today don't understand this. They read these words and they don't see the truth that's written in this text. Do you have the truth? Do you know these things? We need to know what we believe. So let's pick it up again. Verse 52. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be? So in other words, they're saying, you've put yourself in this position. No, God put Christ in that position. God has a son that he sent to do his will, that he sent to come to this earth to live and die and live again and be an intercessor or mediator for us and to pour his spirit into our hearts that we can cry, Abba, Father. If they only understood these things. Verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. So how do we know that we know God? We keep his word. We keep his word. We do his commandments. We do what he asks us to do. We profess his name and his son's name to others. We don't hide it under a basket. Verse 56, Jesus says to them, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not even 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So what is Jesus saying there? He's saying, look, I existed before Abraham did. Well, here this 30-year-old man is telling them that he existed before Abraham. It's obvious they weren't reading the scripture. It's obvious if they were reading it, they weren't reading it according to truth. They were reading it according to what they wanted it to say. They were reading it according to their will. And what happened after he tells them, hey, I existed before Abraham. I was there. Remember, all things were created through Christ. He was there in the beginning with God. There was nothing that was made without Christ being there. God is the creator. Christ is the one through whom he created all things. So he knew Abraham. And when he says these things, verse 59, then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. He had God's protection there. He got away. They wanted to stone him to death. These people rejected the truth of God's word. The Son of God is there witnessing to them. As he's telling them these things, just like this morning in Sabbath school when we looked at the book of Acts, where Paul is recounting all of those things, these people, look at how many times, over and over again, even in the New Testament, he's telling them. We just talked a couple of weeks ago about Israel. And here they are here in the New Testament era, still rejecting. And here we are today. They still reject as a nation. But individually, remember, those people, individuals, can be saved. They have to accept the blood of Jesus. So look on the PowerPoint at John chapter 16. I put this up there for you. This is from the New King James. John 16, verses 12 through 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. This is Jesus speaking. Verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. So what's it say? He will guide you to all truth. Why weren't these people guided to all truth? Because they were set in their ways. Because they believed that their temple, that their service was saving them. They wanted to believe what they were taught by the Pharisees instead of saying, wait a minute, this has a ring of truth to it. There are all of these prophecies that are pointing to the very things that this man, Jesus, has done. Look at what's going on here. God gave them every opportunity. Every opportunity. And even when Jesus died and there was an earthquake, and there was an earthquake at his resurrection, people said, surely this was the Son of God. People were converted. They recognized who he was at that moment. Up to that moment, there must have been some doubt because they said, surely this was the Son of God. All the doubt was gone. Jesus is doing everything he can. Our Heavenly Father, the Father of Jesus, is doing everything he can to save people, to teach them the truth which is Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 17. It says, John 17, verses 18 and 19. I believe this was the scripture reading for today. It says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. We can't sanctify ourselves. The truth sanctifies us. Who is the truth? Christ. It's the blood of Christ that sanctifies us. There's so much here when we look at these texts. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. Without him, we have no life. Jesus is the light of the world, and he calls us to be the light of the world. We have to follow in his footsteps. John chapter 18, John chapter 18, 37 and 38. Pilate therefore said to Jesus, this is on the PowerPoint, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault with him at all. I ask you, what is truth? Is it a church? Is it a denomination? Is it a group of people? Well, God's people in Acts are called the way because they follow after the way, which is Jesus. We know the way today as Christian. But there are a lot of varying beliefs within Christianity. They all claim to have the truth, but they all seem to be teaching something different. So how do we reconcile this? We have to get into the Word of God. We have to study it, study to show ourselves approved. We have to know what it says, why it says it. Prove and reprove the Scriptures. Test one to the other. If we find something that may seem contradictory, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. So if there are verses that seem to contradict, it has to be my understanding that's contradictive. God does not contradict himself in the Bible, neither does Jesus. Let's take a look. Just some other texts that might be of encouragement to you. And this is in Ephesians. I love this text. Ephesians chapter 4. I debated on how much of this to read. I have in my outline to read the whole chapter. But let's just see. Let's just start here because there's so much information here. And for context, I think we should read from the beginning of this. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to begin in verse 1. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church in Ephesus. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4, there is one body, and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Let me stop there. One body, one Spirit. If there's one Spirit that is teaching us, then we all have to believe the same thing. If we all don't agree on a teaching, then somebody either has the Spirit and somebody doesn't, or both of them don't have it. Because if we both have the Spirit of Christ in our hearts, the teaching is going to be the same. This is very important. This is very important. So it says, again, verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So if we have the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ in us, we have to be in agreement on these things that are in the Bible. And if we're not, then either one of us is wrong or both of us is wrong. But we can't both be right. Do you have the truth? Keep asking yourself that question. Do I have the truth? Do I have the truth? It says in verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. And what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, to the edifying of the body of Christ. Remember, there's one body. We have to be in agreement. And if we're not in agreement, we need to keep studying. We need to keep studying. Verse 13, this is what it tells us. I'm going to read verse 12 again. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till what? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We should all believe the same thing. That's what this is saying. If we have the unity of Christ, we cannot be teaching two different things about a doctrine. And it says if we don't really know what we believe, we're going to be tossed about like the wind by the trickery of men. I see this every single week. I talk to somebody that they will have, you would think they would have a solid foundation. Oh, well, I watched this video that so-and-so did, and it says something completely contrary to what the Word of God says. And because that person was an extemporaneous and a very good speaker, guess what? They sucked them in. The problem is, when I see some of these things and I watch them, I'm saying, this guy isn't speaking from the Bible. He's talking on his own. He's preaching a message, but not reading from the Word of God. He's giving his opinion. And this is telling us we should all come to the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God. So here's where it starts. Who is God's Son? Every Christian denomination out there will believe something a little bit different about who the Son of God is. But the Bible is very clear on who the Son of God is. And I know people say, well, what does that mean? Well, I would ask you, what do you believe? And that's what I do often. Who is the Son of God? What do you believe about that? And people will just, they'll just start talking. They never say, here, let me show you. They say, oh, the Son of God? Well, it's God's Son, you know, Jesus, who's born of Mary, Son of God. Well, give me some more information. We need to be ready to make a defense for the faith. We need to know these things. We should be able to open our Bibles. And it doesn't come overnight. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes years. Be patient. You can't know it all today. We still don't know it all. We're still learning every day, even as a ministry, as individuals, every one of us here, every day we learn something that we didn't know before. When we open God's Word, we look and say, wow, how did I miss that all my life? I've read this text at least 50 times. How did I not see that? Sometimes we're not ready to see it. Sometimes we're not ready. I might not be able to handle it if I read a certain thing. Jesus said to his disciples, I have many things to tell you, but you're not ready to hear them now. It might have scared them away if he would have told them everything, if he would have told them what kind of death they were going to die. You never know. He might not have told some until the timing was right. And he knew when to do it. He was a master. So verse 17, Ephesians 4, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That's beautiful to me. That you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, that's the opposite of truth. You put it away. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know, when we read that account in John, those people were bitter. Those people that were opposing Jesus, they had bitterness, they had wrath, they had anger. They were speaking evil things. These were religious leaders. Why were they speaking those things? Because Jesus upset their apple cart. He upset the things that they wanted to do, the things that they were used to doing. And he was saying, hey, you've missed the point. We don't like change. We don't like change. Boy, did I have to change my thinking, my belief, my understanding, my place of worship. It all had to change, and it wasn't easy. Brother Roy and I have talked about this. Being a Christian ain't always easy, just to put it bluntly. Sometimes we have to make choices that really are difficult to make. Well, Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. He made the choice that was the most difficult by coming here and living the life that he lived and dying the death that he died to give us an opportunity for eternal life. Why can't we just accept it and teach that truth to other people? You know, this goes on in chapter 5 in Ephesians. Read Ephesians. Take time. It's a very small book. I mean, it's only 6 chapters. You can sit down and probably read it in about 25 or 30 minutes. But don't just read it. Pay attention to the words, particularly when you get to chapter 6. It's one of my favorite chapters of Ephesians. And let's just go there very quickly. We'll close with this text. Ephesians chapter 6. It says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Sounds daunting, doesn't it? But he doesn't leave it there. Therefore, in verse 13, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Who is the way, the truth, and the life? It's Jesus. Gird your waist with Christ. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Who is the righteousness of God? Personified, it's Jesus Christ. The breastplate of righteousness. So I have Christ around my waist. I have Christ as my breastplate. Having, in verse 15, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Who is the Prince of Peace? It's Jesus Christ. And when it says here, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, it uses the feet because we walk, and as we walk, we talk to people. That's how we get out and preach the gospel. We have to go and be mobile and move people to want to know God and His Son. Verse 16, above all, take up the shield of faith. Whose faith are we supposed to have? The faith of Jesus. So above all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take up the helmet of salvation. Where does salvation come from? From the blood of Jesus Christ. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Who is the Word of God? Jesus Christ. This is a beautiful text. It's one I get goosebumps when I think about this, because really, this is saying if you put on the armor of God, you're putting on Jesus Christ. You have nothing to fear. And this helmet of salvation, you know, we put a helmet on our head. Hopefully, if you ever ride a motorcycle, I know Brother Ed wears a helmet. In this state, you have to. My wife and I were in Michigan the other week, and there were guys riding up and down the highway with no helmet. That's not wise. The helmet of salvation. Why is it called the helmet of salvation? Because our mind, our brain, is the command center for the whole body. If the brain isn't communicating with the nerve endings correctly, I can't move my hand, I can't move my feet, or I might not be able to feel my foot. The brain is the command center, the helmet of salvation. So who do I want guarding my mind? Jesus Christ. And if I have Christ guarding my mind, then I'm not going to be concerned about things that are in the world. I'm not going to be concerned about watching videos or movies I shouldn't, listening to music that I shouldn't, putting things in front of my eyes that I shouldn't see, touching things that I shouldn't touch, tasting things that I shouldn't taste. Think about that. The helmet of salvation. So when we put on that armor, again, we're putting on Christ. I want the truth. And I have found, my experience has shown me that even though the church that I grew up in said, we have the truth, I don't know if there's anything further from the truth. They have some truths, but with every truth that they teach, there is error, and we can't blend them. Because when we blend them, it's a mess, and it's wrong. You can't serve two masters. So I ask again, do you have the truth? Well, if you have Christ and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you continue to study God's Word and you live according to the requirements and the things that this book is holding before you, and we make the changes, remember what Jesus said to that woman, we read it today, go and sin no more. He didn't say, I've got your back in case you do. He said, go and sin no more. If we do these things and we put on the armor of God, that armor being Christ, then we can say we have the truth. It's not in a denomination. It's not in any church or group. I know I say this a lot, but it's so important that you understand that. This ministry doesn't save people. We want to preach the truth. And we want to help others to preach those things. The truth is Jesus Christ. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's what Jesus said. Jesus is the truth.
Well, friends, I hope you received a blessing from listening to that sermon. And I hope that it helps you to recognize that the truth is not in a church. It's not in a denomination. And I was raised believing that all of my life. And I'm just so glad that I met Jesus and the truth has set me free. And I just hope that each one of you has an opportunity to meet Jesus, not just through reading of God's word, but one day to meet him in the air, as we say at the close of this program each and every week. So that's all the time we have for now. I will say this, that next week I'm hoping that Ed and I will be able to get together and have a Bible study right here, and it might sound a little different because we're going to try to do it via Zoom, depending on his location and his internet service. So let's have a closing word of prayer, and then we'll close the program. Father in heaven, what a blessing it is once again to be able to open your word, to be able to learn about you, to be able to learn about the plan of salvation and about your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, we just ask that each person that has listened will be able to draw closer to you and your Son, to be able to have a personal relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Please be with us until we come together again. We thank you so much for every gift you give us, and especially the gift of your Son, Jesus. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I want to thank you for tuning in once again, and I hope you'll be able to tune in again next Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.